Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
This is Mike Kegley. Matt Stevens and I will be talking about the disappointing loss to Northwestern that ends the Illini season at 5-7 and bowlless. We will be back in 1 minute.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Matt Stevens. We are talking in the aftermath of the disappointing 45-43 loss to Northwestern, which ends the Illinois season at 5-7, came so close to qualifying for a bowl, but ultimately the Northwestern team, which has been a thorn in the side of Illinois for the last 100 years, stops an opportunity for the Illini to go bowling, get the 15 extra practices, and develop this extremely young team that they have, at least in parts of their positions. And it was a loss that was particularly frustrating because the Illini gave up four turnovers that yielded 24 points. And there was a lot of really what would be termed non-complimentary football that was being played out there, first downs for penalties for first downs, turnovers, just a lot of things that weren't as efficient as what a Brett Bielema coach team was wanting to look. Matt, what were your initial thoughts coming, a post game, now that you've talked to Coach B and a few of the players?
That Illinois gave this one away. I'm not trying to take anything away. David Braun's going to get my Big Ten Coach of the Year vote. Northwestern won 7 games this year. You cannot take away anything from those kids, that coaching staff, any of them. It's been a really, really tumultuous season for them. Give them all the credit in the world. They're going to go to a pretty decent bowl game at 7-5, and they earned it. The fact of the matter is, though, that Illinois gave this game away. Their head coach feels like they gave it away. The 24 points off of 4 turnovers, you can't do that. I'll just quote the head coach. You cannot do that at any level and expect to win. High school, college, pros. You give up 24 points on turnovers, you're going to lose. And Illinois lost. There was not a whole lot of consistency in terms of what Illinois was trying to accomplish today. I feel like there's, a lot of question marks that go into this season. If you want a little hint on what my column's going to be coming out of this game, the 2023 season was a failure. It was a complete and utter failure. This team could not afford to go 5-7. This team could not afford to not go to the postseason. They are not going to the postseason. They end 5-7. And Brett Bielema could not afford to go 0-4 against the four first-year head coaches that were on his schedule. He proceeded to do that. And so for this season, you have a 5-7 season in which the head coach ended his first season in Champaign and famously said, "I didn't come here to go 5-7. Well, we've reached the Rubicon, because they, in year three, have now gone 5-7. And I'd love to be able to point to you things that Illinois consistently feels like that they can build the foundation of the program on. As they head into the spring and as they figure out some things as they go on the road next week to recruit, there's not a whole lot that I can put my finger on that says this is what this Illinois program is. So, you know, give Northwestern a lot of credit. They played very, very well on the road in a tough environment in a rivalry game. And Illinois did not play very well and had to really, really try to pull it out at the end in classic Big Ten West fashion. The last Big Ten West game ever was Illinois-Northwestern. And in classic Big Ten West fashion, made it as close as they possibly could. But one team gave it away and the other team gladly accepted the gifts and turned it into a road win. And Illinois's got to go back to figuring out how they can stop, you know, gifting teams victories and figuring out ways to win, why they have to play. To quote the head coach, I think about a month ago, guys, you don't have to make this so hard. You know, he came out of the Indiana game saying, guys, this doesn't have to be this way. But 8 out of the 12 times this year, it was that way. And you know, Illinois finished 5-3 in those games. But they came out on the short end of this one, and it was very much a much needed game for Illinois, and they didn't get the job done.
Yeah, and we don't want to focus too much on the whole season. We'll have other podcasts and columns about that, but it is a frustrating thing, especially when, you know, when you play this many close games, and to finish 5-3 is good, but you also leave yourself very little margin that somebody could say, you could have ended up 0-12 with the, you know, if you lose those five close games, or you could have ended up, you know, winning, you know, being 8-4 if you win all of them, and either of those situations is unlikely. So as we went into this game, Illinois has yet another game where they outgained their opponents 455-379. Seems like to me the key thing was four turnovers and then allowing 24 points to be scored off of those turnovers. Illinois, you know, did some good things themselves, but you can't win football games like that. Let's talk about maybe some of the bright things. First off, quite a day for, you know, John Paddock ended up with a nice day, 334 yards. I thought a couple things stood out to me. Reggie Love quietly had 100 yards rushing, 106 on 23 carries. And Casey Washington ended up with a fantastic day, 218 yards receiving, 9 catches, 3 touchdowns. He'll be in there as one of the top days of an Illinois wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Will we see John Paddock next year?
No. He can't play. He's done. Like, I don't know where this got started. I don't know how this got started. John Paddock does not have another year of eligibility. He knew after the Minnesota game that these were his last three games of his collegiate career, and he started the last three games of his collegiate career. Casey Washington does not have another year. He's done. I want to address the Casey Washington thing, which is I'm so happy for that kid. This kid feels so awful right now because we interviewed him and he's in tears. Because to quoting him, losing sucks. It really, really sucks. And short of the 2022 season, Casey Washington's done nothing but lose his entire career. And he is not a losing football player, in my opinion. Casey Washington is somebody who the Illini guys subscribers have constantly gone on my message board, or at least the football message board, and want to know why he's playing over guys like Malik Elzey and guys like Kenari Wilcher. Well, this is why Casey Washington's playing, along with the fact that George McDonald is his position coach and George McDonald doesn't like to play young players. But Casey Washington's in there because, you know, whoever's a quarterback can trust him. And I'm really happy that Casey Washington never got in the end zone before the Indiana game, which was his second to last home game. He's played his last two home games and he's reached the end zone 4 times. When you persevere like that, and you, I mean, I know that Casey Washington was so sick of this place, especially after the coaching change, that he actually was enrolled at Wake Forest. Let's just cut through the crap. He was enrolled at Wake Forest, and like Brett Bielema, the greatest recruiting job. You know, George McDonald joked with me earlier this week, the greatest recruiting job he ever did was convincing Casey Washington, a person he never recruited and had never coached, to come back and play for Illinois. And, you know, that it's so, I mean, in his last collegiate game, he goes for 218, three scores. And, you know, we'll get to this, but, you know, if he hauls in the 2-point play, I think Illinois probably wins the football game. You know, the last 2-point play that would have tied it up at 45, I think Casey would have been instrumental in Illinois winning a dramatic home game that would have gotten them to 6-6. So you want to talk about somebody that left it all out there. That's Casey Washington. I'm happy for Reggie Love, somebody that missed 5 weeks with, you know, a really, really severe ankle injury and has come back and I think had two really solid games. I thought he had a solid game against Iowa. In a way that nobody really has been able to move the ball, you know, on the ground against Iowa, and Reggie was able to do that at least a little bit. Today he goes for over 100, and I was happy for him and happy for John Paddock. I mean, I'll just be real with everybody. When he took the shot, you know, I think it was I don't remember what it was, but he took a shot to the head. And earlier in the game, I think it was like early in the second half, and Brett Bielema has admitted, I thought about pulling it because he didn't look right. The next drive didn't go well. And I was like, go get him checked out, because he was about ready to put Luke Altmaier back in this football game. I have no idea what that would have looked like, but to his own credit, in his last game ever, John Paddock rallied and tried to, you know, get Illinois to salvage a game and salvage a season. So, you know, good on him for accomplishing his personal dream and being able to put on the orange and blue and start a game and go for over 300 in his last two home games. So, personally, I think that's an accomplishment for him as he goes on to another, you know, phase of his life. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy for a lot of guys that they were able to end on, you know, individual high marks, but I look at somebody like Casey Washington, who I don't feel like is a losing football player. I don't feel like he's anything but a leader in that locker room. He's done nothing but, short of the 2022 season, lose while he's been wearing orange and blue. And to quote him, that just sucks. It just sucks for him. It sucks for this program. And it sucks for, you know, what eventually the record book will say his legacy is, even though if you ever probably were in the locker room with Casey Washington, you wouldn't agree with that. So.
When it comes to, you know, putting pressure, the Illini defense was probably not able to pressure Northwestern Ben Bryant as much as what was anticipated, as they were one of the worst teams in the Big Ten at protecting the quarterback, except for a certain Johnny Newton, who had yet another excellent game. You know, he really ended up, you know, doing what I guess what you typically expect out of him. And he ended up with, you know, two sacks, had a third sack that was taken away by a penalty.
Yep.
Ironically, the Illini only had one penalty all game, just happened to give Northwestern a first down when Newton had sacked.
Sure.
And forced a punt. You know, can you kind of frame up, at least in your opinion, where Johnny Newton fits in the pantheon of Illinois defensive greats?
Johnny Newton will be a first-team All-American. He will be a consensus All-American, probably. There's a way to do that. I covered Rondell Moore, who was a consensus All-American his freshman year. I mean, in my world, he had three sacks. One got negated because Illinois had a defensive holding penalty, which kind of encompassed the entire Illinois season, if you really think about it, because you had a star in Johnny Newton and you had a whole bunch of secondary pieces that were really, really new and going to make mistakes, and damned if they didn't right then. So Johnny Newton's going to be the first, I believe, the first defensive player off the board in the NFL draft. I know some people don't think he'll go that high. I think he'll be the first defensive player off the board. I think you can, he's going to have, he's a special person. He's a special player. I didn't know this until the data came out. I had a feeling, but last week against Iowa, and everybody knows what kind of a football game Iowa is, he was on the field for every one of the 70 snaps. And today I felt like he wreaked havoc. He didn't get much help. Keith Randolph tried to go. We know Keith's not healthy. Like, I mean, by God, he's probably been playing on one leg for the last month. And it finally gave out on him today. He didn't have much help when Keith went out. And yeah, Northwestern got a lot done in that regard. But also, they didn't really move the ball that much. If you really think about it, I know Ben Bryant has good stats, but their drives were basically, they were elevated because Illinois turned it over. And but I think Ben Bryant continues to get better and better each and every week. Credit again to that Northwestern coaching staff for putting him in positions to succeed when it didn't. When this team was shut out against Rutgers in the season opener of David Braun's first game, they continued to get better and better. And, you know, that offense continued to put up points once they got into the meat of Big Ten season. And yeah, I think that they were the worst in giving up sacks, which is really the only way I guess you can rate a statistically an offensive line in terms of pass protection. But if you really look, they did a really good job later in the year of protecting Ben Bryant enough for him to be able to make plays. So they were getting better. Illinois just continued to not have the depth in their defensive line to make it matter. So I felt like, you know, Illinois was going to struggle a little bit. They put a lot of pressure on their coverage again. And Aaron Henry knows that, you know, this was a young group, an inexperienced group, and they were going to take some lumps if they couldn't get to the quarterback. And short of number four, it really took a yeoman's effort for Illinois to get to the quarterback, you know, all season long. And today was no different. So I felt like if Illinois couldn't get to Bryant, they were really, really going to struggle. And that became true today.
As we look at it, you know, in tonight's game, it really seemed to come down to as much as you know, it looked like on that last conversion, it looked like there was holding before the ball went in the air. But
the head coach thinks so.
Yeah. But, you know, the bottom line is when you play with this strategy, you get a lot of close games, which then makes one play look tougher, you know, or look like it's the key thing. And I would argue that the two fumbles on special teams were the swing point, because there were two touchdowns scored in 9 or 10 seconds. And you know, it started from Isaiah. You could tell by the way if you watched the replay, you could tell he was struggling to guess where the ball was going to come down. And you could even see it almost like staggering is not the right word, but he was moving back and forth because he was just having a hard time with it.
Sure.
And then, of course, the touchdown gets scored. Then Wilcher gets hit in the leg, causing a fumble up top, which immediately was returned. Game is over. I have a hard time when I look at like how Brett Bielema wants to win games by controlling the football, by controlling the pace of the game, by having, you know, using field position, et cetera. Two turnovers in your own territory leading to 14 points in less than 10 seconds. To me, not that those players, because people do fumble, but that was, to me, the pivot point that the whole game went on. Now, there were other turnovers that were bad,
mm-hmm.
and there were other moments, but those back-to-back, a 14-0 spread, and then I guess the other one that I thought was really rough was the, and if you take this out of there, maybe Illinois wins this going away. But the allowing that score at the end of the first half, like we've seen time and time again,
right,
and then an opening drive that ends up in another score.
Yeah, Bielema has talked about the double dip all the time on his side. He got double dipped today.
He got double dipped and double dipped twice, because double dipped on the special teams.
Yep.
To me, those are the two moment isn't quite the right term, but those two lengths of time were what did this Illini team in, because I thought, as you noted, the rest of the game, Illinois really was probably the more effective team.
Yeah, I think Illinois they sure as heck didn't have any problem, you know, David Ron's a defensive coach. They sure didn't have any problem moving the football, right? So you're right. I think the two special teams turnovers killed Illinois. Brett Bielan knows that. The double dip is funny because it's just, if you listen to Brett Bielema talk about it, like Illinois has never figured out how they want to play coverage all year. Do we want to play straight man? Do we want to play zone? You know, do we want to play, you know, we want to play essentially a very forgiving cover two. Do we want to do that? We want to play 2D. And so they've kind of been going back and forth on it all year. And, they've never found the right combination on how to do that with a secondary that doesn't have a whole lot of, returning parts that have played it in Illinois system. You know, Clayton Bush has played a lot of football. He just hasn't done it at Illinois before this year. Nakario Harper's played a lot of football, hadn't done it before at Illinois before this year. And you lost also, you know, Johnny Newton kind of put it in perspective. He goes, I knew in the secondary was going to be a problem because we lost three draft picks in the first three rounds of the draft.
And we're not Alabama or Ohio State where there's seven other 4 and 5 stars sitting around waiting to jump in the lineup.
Right. And so you knew at that point it was going to have to be, you know, a front seven game for Illinois because they didn't know what the strengths and the weaknesses of this team were in the secondary until they started playing people. And when they started playing people, they never got a feel for how they were all going to work together. Aaron Henry never got a handle on that. And then you saw at the end of the half, they have to play with so much cushion because you don't want to give up penalties, you know, because Brett Bielema talked last week. What did he talk about? Well, that last Iowa scoring drive happened because they gave up two defensive PIs because they're in their face and they're playing straight man and blah, 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 blah. Well, they get two DPIs. Well, that's 15 yards. That's 30 yards. Like, what do you want? Like, I mean, and so Aaron Henry's been struggling with trying to mix and match that all year, and he hasn't found the combination. And it bit him again because, you know, they've got to play with so much cushion because they're probably not going to get to the quarterback. And so you're asking guys to cover. Well, if you're asking them to cover, you're going to have to give them cushion initially to, you know, allow them to, you know, make a play on the ball. Because if you don't give them any cushion, guess what? They're going to get beat over the top, right? And so that's the frustration if you're Illinois, and it happened. And then the special team stuff is just, I mean, that's stuff that just can't happen. I'd love to be able to point to Robbie Disher, but I think Robbie's been pretty good all year, short of the Nebraska game, has been pretty good all year. And look, I mean, Isaiah's got to make that catch. You know, I'm sorry, he's just got to make that catch. Canary's got to not turn that football over. It's a little bit more disappointing from Isaiah's standpoint because he's a fifth-year senior than it is for Canary Wiltshire, who's a true freshman. But either way, Canary Wiltshire's done the kickoff thing for a while now. Like, he needs to not fumble that ball. That cost you two scores. And, you know, yeah, that's 28 points on the board, or 29 points because they went for two and got it. So that's 29 points on the board. Bing, bang, boom. That's your ball game. So, yeah, I mean – I have my quibbles with the head coach all the time about this, but you can call it complete bull, you know what, if you want to, that last, you know, 2-point conversion, non-holding call, you can do whatever you want. You can call it whatever you want. And I'm sure you'll be writing a check to the Rosemont office here pretty soon for that. But I understand you think that, you know, completely puts you at 5-7 and puts you out of a bowl game. But there are so many plays that if you had another game to play, I would tell Brett Bielema, if you had another game to play, you would have picked out like 10 or 12 plays in this game that said, this is why we lost. You wouldn't have just shown that play to your team.
Right.
And so that's where I get a little frustrated with Brett Bielema not being able to figure out, you know, he blamed the officials all of the last half of last year and they finished the year 1-4. And he couldn't figure out why these guys basically got deflated every time something went bad, you know, either from an officiating standpoint or a bounce of the ball or something. That was part of it. I'm convinced that was part of it. And you know, it happened again this year where he would go absolutely out of his mind on the officials, and guys would just completely lose their composure on the field that were wearing uniforms. And that's something that I think Brett Bielema was going to have some contemplation with himself about going into this offseason. But at the end of the day, Mike, if you want to evaluate what actually went on the field, yeah, Illinois, I started this for the way I did for a reason. Illinois gifted Northwestern 24 points, and they lost by two. You know, so there's a significant amount of plays that Illinois just handed Northwestern this victory. And you have a head coach that when he was hired in December of 2020, literally told people the minute that he took the job, you guys need to understand there are more games that are lost than won. And I'm going to try my hardest to make sure Illinois doesn't lose those games as much as possible. Today it went the other way on him, and Illinois definitely gave Northwestern a win and certainly took another L that I think a lot of people would consider was unforced.
Yeah, and they've had a few of those this year.
Yep.
You know, even if you look at the TD drives, you know, that were put together by our friends at Northwestern, you know, one was touchdown, five plays, 26 yards. Another one was a touchdown, four plays, 18 yards. A field goal that was four plays minus 2 yards. So right there, you know, you've got
at 17 points, and I think they didn't have to go half the field.
Yes.
50 yards total. Yep. So what are you asking your defense to do? Because Aaron Henry's defense is going to be pointed at for, hey, you gave up 45 points.
Yep.
But you also were put in terrible positions by your offense and your special teams. And people are going to laugh when I say this. But when I talk about Iowa being efficient, Iowa's offense, more often than not,
as bad as it is,
doesn't put their defense in positions to give up points very often. They did it one time in Happy Valley in a mud fest where they gave up four turnovers and lost 31 to nothing. But Iowa's defense and special teams normally don't put their defense in a position to lose football games. Sure as hell, Iowa's offense doesn't win them any football games, let alone many, but they don't put their – and again, the head coach of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign has the Tiger Hawk on his left calf for a reason, and that reason is that he knows that the Iowa system will win you a lot more football games than they'll lose you. Quite frankly, the Illinois system will lose you a lot of football games more than it will win them right now because Illinois is still susceptible to mistakes that cost L's instead of, you know, making the common play that will allow you to eventually put up a W. And that's what we saw a lot last year, and we haven't seen a whole bunch of it this year.
Yeah, and I think the other part is that ultimately recruiting has to improve. The league is getting better. And if you were satisfied with Illinois' recruiting, or if you thought they needed to do better before USC, Oregon, Washington, and UCLA came into the league, it's no matter what you thought the status was in the past, it has to elevate even more to keep up with the Joneses, because these Joneses are not coming in the league to go 5-7.
No, and I think we'll have more on that. You said we're going to do a podcast later on the week. We'll talk more about that. But on the field, you can't lose games like this. Yeah, like, and I think that this one's going to gnaw at Brett Bielema a lot. You can't lose games like this. It's a two-sided coin here. And everybody's like, haha, Matt, that's called a coin. Yeah. But on one hand, you can't lose games like this where you just give it away. Flat out, you just give it away. The other is you can't go play games like you did over in West Lafayette this year and just get blitzed.
Yeah.
And you can't play games like you did here in Champaign against Nebraska and just get blitzed and play just complete garbage for four quarters and expect you're going to win. That's not going to work in this new Big Ten. That's not going to work in this Big Ten.
Yeah, because that the old Big Ten, that didn't work.
Right. So I there's not a whole lot. Like I said, I mean, I encourage everybody to read my column, but you're going to get halfway through, guys, and get damn depressed, because there's not a whole lot I can point to and go, here's how it's going to get better. Because I don't believe it right now that this program is on pace to get better. And so, you know, you needed, you know, I've talked myself out of the 15 practices simply because I just don't think Illinois was going to get to 15. They were going to get to more practices than they have now, which is at 5-7. They have zero, like going into this offseason in December. So that I understand. One is more than zero. I get that. And one more practice for those developmental guys, the Devo guys, was going to be beneficial, you would think, right? You needed it for like just program stability and foundational building standpoint. You needed to say, hey, there's schools like Mississippi State that their bowl streak just ended. And I think it got started in 2009 with Dan Mullen, and they've been to a bowl game every year since 2009. Mississippi State. Okay. You have to put year after year together, and then you can start building a foundation of this is just what we do. And then,
Iowa.
Yeah. Oh, Wisconsin,
yep.
You know, Minnesota's streak is going to end, and that's going to be a big thing for PJ to have to basically like figure out how to build now. But the foundation that Illinois has built this thing on in the first 2 years of Bielema, leading into this season, now has cracks in it, significant cracks in it. And I don't know how they repair it, because if you look at our colleagues over at 247 and you look at our colleagues over at Rivals, they both have Illinois ranked 14th in the new Big Ten in recruiting for this 2024 class. You just got a decommitment at halftime of this game. That's the epitome of you just lost the game on the field, and then you just lost it in the boardroom too, because you look up at your recruiting board now and there's one less, you know, kid that you think could have made a difference. So we'll talk more about that on Thursday, but I think Brett Bielema is going to be more ticked off at the fact that this team in 3 years has not learned, to quote Isaiah Adams, who this is his last football game ever in college and last football game in Illinois. There's a lot of immaturity in this Illinois program still. Not to say they're bad kids, but there's just immaturity, and immaturity leads to losses. And you know, immaturity leads to losses like you saw today, where you just hand potentially an inferior Northwestern team another win that probably should have gone on your ledger. And if it does, you're going to the postseason. And because you couldn't help to make some of those mistakes, you're staying home.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of wrap it up at that, because that really gives you, we can beat a dead horse, but every road we take in this podcast is going to go back to four turnovers, 24 points.
Yep.
And you did, you know, and then you add the start of the second half, couple that with the end of the first half, and there's pretty much your victory. We can repeat ourselves 9 different ways, but that's kind of where we're at. We will have a podcast later in the week where we will kind of do some reconstruction of the season, talk about, you know, the key flexion points and maybe how things could have gone better. And then we will also have a podcast in the coming weeks where we'll talk about what needs to happen in the off season. And that's why, you know, these coaches get paid, because there's a full-time job. They get paid a lot of money and there's work to do, and they need to start, you know, going at it. And I'm sure that with the transfer portal, that's going to start almost immediately.
December 4th is yep. Where the I don't call it the transfer portal anymore. It's the tampering portal.
Yep.
Like that starts up on December 4th.
Well, and the back channeling started probably a few weeks ago with high school coaches reaching out to college coaches and all sorts of weird mechanics that's going on across the country. I don't want to intimate that there's anything special going on.
Oh, it's the tampering portal from Maine all the way to California.
Yep. So we will be back. I don't want to end this on a downer. We really appreciate all of our subscribers. If you enjoy our podcast, please, you know, send it out to your friends if they're Illini fans, and get us a few more subscribers to that. And more importantly, if you want to know all the dirt of what's going on in the transfer portal, what's going on in recruiting, what's going on with the coaching staff behind the scenes, I do think that you want to join IlliniGuys.com. It's only $99, same price it was when we started in 2021, and we have not increased it at all. You guys know that there's been a ton of inflation. We want to make sure that you get the same value. We actually have a Black Friday deal going on right now where you can get a free Illini Guys sweatshirt I believe it's a white sweatshirt with blue Illini Guys logo on the front. That's always fun to get something that can be worth about $30, and we don't charge you a penny for it. Please take a look at that. If you've ever thought about joining, this would be the time to do it. But we will be back, of course, and we will have our coverage next Saturday when Illinois plays Rutgers. So there's a ton of stuff that's coming with football, basketball, women's basketball, all the other sports that are involved. We appreciate your support. Thank you very much. And of course, we will be back in just 1 minute.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. We will, of course, be back with coverage later in the week. And, of course, big thank you to Matt Stevens for taking time this evening to talk about the latest game in football as we wait until next year to see what happens with this football team on the field. But we'll be back really soon with the transfer portal. With that, go Illini.
Fans of big sports radio and sports spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.